Shalom. Today's Daf Yomi is Baba Basra Daf Kuf Chaf Hey, Baba Basra 125. And today's Daf Yomi, the Gemara brings a story about a Safta, about a grandma, and the inheritance around her and the scenario that ensued. So there was a person, who the commentaries say was a Shliv Mara. He was very sick, and while he was very sick, he made a stipulation, and he said the following, the Amar Lahu, he said to the people that were around him, Nechasai Lesavta, let all my possessions be inherited now by my grandmother, Uvasra Liarsai, and after she will die, let all of my possessions go to my heirs as opposed to her heirs, meaning to say it should go to my heirs and not to her son or her daughter or her father or her brother, but rather my son or my daughter should inherit her. However, says the Gemara, Havile Barta to having Nasiva, this man who was leaving his possessions first to his grandmother and then after she died to his heirs, he had one daughter, and this daughter was married. And so this is how it became complicated. Shechiva, this one daughter who the man had, she died b'chaye bala uv'chaye asafta. She died while her husband was still alive, and while the grandmother of her father was still alive. And so therefore, Basar Deshliva Savta, after the grandmother died, Asa Baal Katava, then her husband came along, and he asked for the property, because he said, at the time of the request by her father, the daughter was her heir, and the daughter was the heir of the father, and so therefore it was like he said, let my possessions go to the grandma, nechasai lesavta, v'achareha leviti, and after her to my daughter. And so therefore the husband claimed, since I am her husband, and so therefore since she died and I inherit her, so it's as though I'm inheriting the property, even though she predeceased the grandmother. So there's a dispute amongst the Amoraim how we rule under these circumstances. Rav Huna versus Rav Anan. Rav Huna says, Liarsai, v'afil liarsai yarsai, that indeed the father, the husband of the woman who died is correct, because he says, it's as though the man said, let this possessions go after the death of the Safta to my heirs, and even to the heirs of my heirs. And the heirs of my heirs in this case is the husband, and so therefore the husband can indeed inherit her. Comes along Rav Anan, and Rav Anan says, no, the husband does not inherit, because all the man who died was saying was, Liarsai, v'lo liarsai yarsai. I was saying that my heirs can get it, but I was never giving it over to the heirs of my heirs. And so therefore the husband of the woman who died does not get it, and instead it goes to the heirs of the Safta. So this was the dispute between Rav Huna, who said it goes to the husband, versus Rav Anan, who says it goes to the grandmother's heirs. Shalchu mitam. So they sent a message from the land of Israel, Hilchasa kavase de Rav Anan, v'lav mitamei. He said that the law is like Rav Anan, that the husband does not get it, but it's not because of his reasoning, because his reasoning was because it's from the heirs, it goes to the heirs and not to the heirs of the heirs, but that's not correct, because says the Gemara, if this woman who died would have had a son, yes, everybody would have said that even though that son is an heir of an heir, he still would inherit from the Safta. But really the reason here is because this property which the woman had, which the wife had, was called Ro'oi, because she didn't yet have it. It was in the grandmother's possession, but eventually it was going to come to her, and so therefore it was called Ro'oi. And we say a husband does not get prospective assets, only stuff that is Muchzak. So since his wife did not yet have it, therefore it was called Ro'oi and not Muchzak, and therefore the husband does not get it. So the Gemara says, well, we see from here, from the fact that Rav Huna says the husband does get it, does that mean to say that the husband does inherit Ro'oi like Muchzak, which is something that is a shocking position? Do you mean to say that the husband gets prospective assets just like he has established assets already, that he collects both? So comes along Rabbi Elazar, and Rabbi Elazar says, Davar zeh niftach begedolim v'nistayim begetanim. He says a beautiful phrase. He says this matter began with the gedolim, meaning to say it began with Rav Huna, who taught us this law that the husband inherits, and we will conclude it with the ketanim. We will conclude it with the small ones, and the small ones is a reference to himself. And he says because Koa Omer Acharecha Ka Omer Me'achshav Dami, that Rav Huna would say the reason why the husband inherits is because since in this case he said after you the wife will get it or my heir will get it, it's basically the understanding that it's like she had it at this point. So it's Ka Omer Me'achshav Dami, and therefore it's like the husband inherits it because it's not a case of roi, but it's a case of muhsak. But his phrase is davar zeh niftach begedolim v'nistayim begetanim. This matter began with the gedolim and it concludes with the ketanim. And so here he was basically saying, Rabbi Elazar was saying, it began with Rav Huna, who was a gadol, and concludes with me, who's a katan, who's minor. Tosus Rid points out that he's actually not a minor. That Rav Elazar was not a minor compared to Rav Huna. It's just that he was a person of such tremendous this modesty, and that's how he spoke about himself. Others want to say that he was referring to maybe himself vis-a-vis the Tanaim, but you see the way he spoke about himself with such purity and modesty.